But why has there been such opposition? You mentioned that this shouldn't be viewed as an NDP bill. This should be something that should be widely accepted by all the parties. But yet the Liberals, a number of the Liberals and the Conservatives largely, are in complete opposition to this bill.
Well, when I talk to Liberals privately, most of them agree with the targets in this bill and want to vote for it. A significant part of the, I'm guessing, and you should ask these people, call them and ask them. But two of the people that are sending the Liberals, at least in the short term, down the wrong path on this are David McGuinty, the environment critic, who has dragged the discussion on this bill at crucial times into in-camera sessions in the Environment Committee. And the other one is Iggy, who you may recall only a few days after he was made the new leader of the Liberals, made his little trip, his pilgrimage to Alberta to say that he totally supported the oil sands and the future of the oil sands was the future of Canada and we needed it economically. I think that whether it's Iggy from the top down or David McGuinty misleading his party on the costs and benefits of this bill, I think most Liberals in their hearts really do want to vote for it. Mm-hmm.
So what happens, though, if this bill doesn't pass?
Well, besides me personally going into major depression, literally, clinically, for me this is a real litmus test. If this bill passes, I'll be encouraged, and I'll think, my goodness, maybe Canada is going to come into the 21st century. Maybe we will meet our responsibilities and we'll collectively move forward as the vast majority of Canadians want us to. If our government is unable and unwilling to do what Canadians and people around the world want, which is to take our civilization out of risk and move decisively to a more sustainable energy base for our economy, then I will be greatly encouraged. So now, in the bigger picture, that's me personally, and I think there are a lot of people who agree. If this bill doesn't pass, there may be other opportunities, but the clock is ticking. We've been dealing with this since the late 80s and the early 90s, and we've been waffling and postponing and delaying again and again and again and again. And it's just time to get with the program.
Right. Well, this comes as we just saw some of the largest demonstrations calling Canada to take action against climate change this past week. And you also, I'm sure, are present for the student demonstration in the gallery of the House. What are your feelings towards some of this? Do you think this is long overdue, some of these demonstrations, and just the anger that we're seeing, especially a lot of young people exhibiting?
Well, we Canadians are very polite people, and Canadian environmentalists are way more polite than German and American and other environmentalists. And so for weeks and months and years and decades now, environmentalists collectively and individually have been going to our rulers and saying, please, sir, could we please save the planet? And then the leaders say, well, no, we think it'll cost too much, or we'll study it for another decade or two. And then many of the environmentalists have gone away and said, oh, well, we just thought we'd ask. Yes, some are getting more strident now, and I guess you'll have to decide for yourself whether that's the right way to go. I can certainly understand their frustration. If I weren't a member of Parliament, I would be, I don't know if I'd be in Parliament doing that kind of demonstration, but I'd certainly be on the streets doing that kind of demonstration. Mm-hmm. It's time that we all had a wake-up call and took our responsibilities to each other, to our fellow humans, to our fellow species, and to our planet seriously.
Mm-hmm. Are there any last comments you want to leave our listeners with?
Just that I'd like to underscore again that this bill is not prescriptive in terms of how we do it. It simply sets the minimum targets that scientists tell us we need to avoid dangerous greenhouse gas increases. And once it's passed, then hopefully the governments will accept that those are the targets, and then we all will shift to figuring out the dozens, hundreds, perhaps thousands of technological, political, social, and economic ways in which we can reach these targets. So it doesn't prescribe how. It simply sets the stage for us all to put on our thinking caps and do what's required to make it happen.
Well, thank you, Mr. Heyer, for your time. Appreciate it, and good luck on the passage of this bill.
Well, good luck to all of us on the fate of our civilization and the planet.
Well, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Andrew.
Take care.